Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Feedback and Insights, Shir number 165. We're in Rabbi Tversky's book, I've Got to Get Out of My Way. And we're going to talk about the self-consciousness that a person has that could create a tremendous amount of problems for a person, having low self-esteem and situations such as that. So he brings as follows. Take a person who's paranoid. Now, he's not talking about someone that's a medical condition of paranoid schizophrenia. You know, that's an extreme case where someone hears voices and hears things in their head that there's this conspiracy to kill him. You know, that extreme type of mental illness. We're not talking about that. We're talking about things that are more common than that, that many people have, which is a paranoid personality. What does a paranoid personality mean? That he has an uncomfortable feeling that people may be staring at him or people are picking on him, and that he's always the center of attention in a negative way. That is very, very common. Many of us have a certain degree of a paranoid personality within us where we are extremely self-conscious. And that is the ego talking. In a way, it's a gaiva, but in a very unusual form. This is one thing that Rabbi Tversky brings in his other books, and Sfarim bring in their books, where there's something that's a gaiva, an arrogance that's very obvious. You show off, you're boasting, you think you're great, and you announce how great you are in different ways, mostly overtly, sometimes subtly. But then you have a gaiva, a type of arrogance that comes in the form of a humility. Silas Sharm sort of hints to it in his Prakim where he talks about Anava. He goes further to say something of like a powerful line, V'zem miskoya ba'anvenu susai. He is arrogant in his humility. He says he's so great that, you know, he doesn't need anything and he's humble that way. He's arrogant that way, rather. But this is something else. Here, it's when a person is extremely self-conscious and he feels he's lower than everybody, or she feels she's inferior to everybody. That means they're thinking a lot about themselves, their own self-image. So it looks like that they're very much humble or even feeling very, very low about themselves. But their concentration on themselves is a certain really form of gaiva. And that's something very hard for most of us to swallow. But that's the case. So you have someone that's extremely self-conscious, that he feels or she feels that they're the center of attention in a negative way. But then you have the opposite also. A person may feel that they're totally ignored. No one's noticing them. No one's looking at her. It's as if he doesn't exist. This too is a feeling of inferiority. This too is psychologically unhealthy. And again, what's characterized by this? A severe self-consciousness. Any type of extreme self-consciousness means you're so aware of yourself and thinking of yourself that you're the center of the attention, or the reverse, that everyone's ignoring you and you feel that in that way, is a certain hyper-focus on oneself. Because a person who is in a good emotional healthy state, thinks well of himself or herself, is not likely to be concerned whether or not people are looking at them. It makes no difference to them whether they are noticed or not noticed. This is the famous Yesod. I remember Rav Tversky, again, he wrote an earlier book, which I don't have in front of me, called Let Us Make Men. And he mentions it there too. This is the famous Yesod with the spies, the Meraglim that Moshe sent. And when they reported back to Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, v'chein hayinu be'enehem, and so were we grasshoppers in their eyes. They made an assumption that they looked like grasshoppers in their eyes. And one of the Mefarshim say that was the problem. They were influenced by what others thought of them, or what they thought they thought of them. So you see, that's a problem. On the other hand, people with feelings of inferiority may do things to attract attention to themselves, to make themselves more conspicuous. And the more intense this feeling of inferiority is, the more extreme this attention-getting mechanism is. So this feeling of inferiority, which seems to be anova, or a low, like shiftless, a lowliness in the person, is really a certain arrogance in a certain way. And Rotorsky, again, I give him so much credit. I mean, he wrote this book probably when he was in his 80s, but he's acknowledging a lot of normal human failures or struggles that he had too. He understood, and he remembered being a child. He says, having suffered from unwarranted feelings of inferiority since childhood, I am well aware of the shtick I did to be noticed. It's a tremendous amount of self-analysis here. And I'm sure that at times I made a fool of myself, but better that than being a nobody. We all tend to do that sometimes. When we feel a certain inferiority, we want to be noticed, and sometimes we act foolishly in order to be noticed. However, people who are confident in their abilities to function, to do whatever they are doing with their full attention, with the tasks at hand, that's a healthy self-esteem. People are unsure of themselves, may be concerned about possibly making a mistake and what that would do to them. And they are so preoccupied with themselves that they become distracted, and this distraction diverts their full attention from what they are trying to do. And that may bring about the very mistake that they fear making. And this often occurs in perfectionists. A person who is self-conscious and is worried about what would happen if they made a mistake may not be able to shake off their self-consciousness. Rotorsky gives a fascinating story here of a 19-year-old college student that was doing poorly in his courses. And it was surprising to him because he was an excellent student through high school. Turns out that he came from a coal mining town. Everyone in his family worked in coal mines. Most of the people began working in the mines at a young age. Some hadn't finished high school. No one in his extended family had gone to college. And his father boasted that his son was the first one to go to college. And his father made no secret of the sacrifice as a coal miner to put his son through college. And it was all worth it because of the honor this young man will bring to his family. So, and this young man indeed felt that he was carrying the family honor on his shoulders. So although he studied well and he absorbed the material, but his mind would become a total blank when he took the exams. He could easily have passed the exams if the only challenge was get a good grade, but there was more riding on his performance. Because he realized if he did not do well, he would be disappointing his father, who was sacrificing so much for his education, and he would be letting the whole family down. So what happened was, is he was capable and intelligent and had good grades. He had the ability to have good grades. He had the ability to study scholastically in college and do great, get A's and A pluses. But because of the anxiety of letting his family down, because of the load on his shoulders to carry the family name, the anxiety over that paralyzed his thinking. And that fear of the consequence of failing made him fail. He froze. And there was no way that he could shake off loose from that feeling. That created a problem. Men, most of us, we do the same thing. We do this when our pride isn't on stake. We dread so much making a mistake that we interfere in the performance that precipitates that mistake that we may make. This is something also that he describes as William Tell syndrome. William Tell syndrome is based on a story of a person, William Tell, who was an expert archer. And he had somehow, something went wrong with the king, and the king ordered him to shoot an arrow on an apple perched on his Tell's son's head. So he put an apple on his son's head, and the king forced him to shoot through the apple. And anything, if he would miss, it would go through his son and kill him. And he succeeded. But anyone with less expertise or confidence than Tell even if technically they were accurate, they had the ability to go and hit the bullseye on the target, they would be so anxious at shooting that arrow at the apple perched on his son's head that the hands would shake and would be doomed to fail. That's excessive self-consciousness that can result in bizarre behavior. Yet another experience, Rabbi Twersky, where a young man was brought for an examination and he was arrested for an attempted bank robbery. What's strange was that his father was a self-made man, rich. But the son felt dwarfed by his father's success because he had very little accomplishments of his own, so he felt inferior. When he went into the room, he smiled at Dr. Twersky and said, "Hello, doctor, didn't you see my picture on the front page of the newspaper today? You know, the account of the armed robbery?" He had finally succeeded in calling attention to himself. And the motive for the bank robbery may have been more than being noticed than for the money. This happens a lot often when you have a kid that's a school clown. He remembers in class where people were school clowns and they behaved ridiculously and the teacher made them leave the room and they were happy about it. And very often these class clowns were not stupid kids. They were very bright kids that had the ability to achieve very, very positive recognition by excelling in their studies, but they did not feel they were bright enough to excel academically, so they chose the negative road to prominence. This happens very often, unfortunately, in the community pertaining to people who don't learn well or have problems scholastically that way, and they act inferior behaviors because of their, feeling bad about not being able to achieve or not having confidence in themselves to be able to achieve. And then they decide, "I want to be noticed a different way," and they take that negative way of being noticed. And when we fight that and we build them up and we build ourselves up and we learn not to be so self-conscious, then we have no need to draw attention to ourselves. And people who are not self-conscious, they don't need to think about themselves. The self takes care of them. It takes care of itself automatically. It takes care of itself automatically. He goes through this as a tremendous yesod that there are two ways you operate, automatically or manually. Automatic means you leave it alone and it runs on its own. Manually means you have to direct the way it functions. To do it automatically, obviously, is easier than manually, more efficient. And the way he explains it is as follows. If you go back to the Chet Eitz Hadas, Adam and Chava were punished for eating the Eitz Hadas, and because of that, their eyes opened, and they realized they were naked. The Ramban asks that it appears that they gained insight, which is normally a reward rather than a punishment. So what does it mean that their eyes were opened and they began to understand things after the sin? So the Ramban explains that prior to the sin, man operated on instinct rather than intellect. Everything was natural, like any other creature. And instinct is more efficient than intellect, because intellect could be subject to distortion, to misrepresentation. So we need to realize that when we do things automatically, naturally, it's the most healthy thing. Therefore, when one is not self-conscious, that means they have that high self-esteem, healthy self-esteem, that they trust in themselves, they trust in their abilities. They're not thinking of what other people are thinking about them. They're not thinking pretty much at all other than what Hashem wants from me and do the best I can with it. That is that automatic response that is extremely healthy. So ironically, the less you think about yourself, the healthier self-esteem you have. When you see the whole picture of things, knowing your great gifts and your great talents. We'll continue to explain this, Be'ez Hashem, in the upcoming shir. Bracha and Hatzlacha.